Good afternoon. It's 4:30 and 36 degrees here in Moorhead. This is Mountain Edition. I'm Leanne Akers.
And I'm Nacogdoches Miller.
We're still down to one individual doing both the administrative portion and doing all of the other operational.
Rowan County has a new deputy judge executive.
A renovation project in downtown Moorhead is almost complete.
A new bill may reroute high-profile government cases.
Moorhead State University is planning activities for Martin Luther King Day.
A Kentucky man was arrested in Arizona for kidnapping a Californian teenager.
In sports, Bath County and West Carter face off in the second round of the regional All-A tournament tonight.
Bud Luke has the stock report.
Breezing, drizzling overnight with a low around 32. Stay tuned for an extended weather forecast after this news.
County Judge Executive Harry Clark swore in his Deputy Judge Executive on Tuesday. Clark elected not to hire an administrative assistant or a Deputy Judge Executive when he took office, and instead opted to create an operations manager position to replace them. He appointed Jason Sloan to that slot, but has since been made aware of a Kentucky revised statute requiring him to have a deputy. Clark says Sloan will be holding that title as well.
I thought that one person in the office would be enough to complete the jobs that we have. So I put him as the operations officer, which meant he would do the day-to-day operations as well as the administrative portion of it. But by the KRS, it's very clear that says that after 1980, that if you have not appointed a deputy judge executive, that you must appoint a deputy judge executive.
Clark says Sloan's duties as deputy will only come into play if he is unable to fill his own duties as judge executive and will act primarily as the operations manager.
A renovation project in downtown Moorhead is almost complete. The Moorhead Conference Center was closed for a little less than a month for the project. Executive Director of the Moorhead Tourism Commission, Joy Brown, says the facility will reopen on Monday.
We will open back up on Monday and have 11 events next week. One of the big things, there's some private events, and then there's the big thing is Winterfest is always in January here. Mount Pisgah Church actually hosts it. So Jamie, our conference center director, said, we got to get open.
Brown says the conference center was able to keep everything on budget and is confident in their reopening.
Kentucky has entered its second official legal fight over Medicaid. After the first 1115 waiver had been overturned last year, the Bevin administration decided to submit a second one. Officials say it received approval from the Centers for Medicare and Medicaid Services. Dustin Pugel is with the Kentucky Center for Economic Policy. He says it will take another ruling from U.S. District Court Judge James Boesigberg to halt implementation of those changes.
So it's the same judge, virtually the same complaint, same waiver. It'll be interesting to see where we go from here.
The state has been holding a series of forums, sending out notices, and laying the groundwork for those changes.
A new Senate bill could reroute high-profile government cases to judges from outside of Franklin County. Officials say the bill will effectively avoid rulings by Circuit Judge Philip Shepard, who struck down last year's controversial pension reforms. Senate President Robert Stiver says while the bill is not a reaction to a specific judge, Shepard's handling of the pension case raised several red flags.
On certain issues, and it has become pretty well known that Judge Shepard wants to practice the case. And how do you change that unless you change the way cases are assigned?
Democratic Senate Minority Floor Leader Morgan McGarvey urged caution in altering the court system or targeting a single judge.
Organ donor organizations are panicking. That's because a new feature of Kentucky's redesigned driver's licenses could have a major impact on donor rolls in the state. With the new option to renew one's license every 8 years rather than 4, there will be fewer opportunities to ask Kentuckians if they would like to be an organ and tissue donor. Shelley Snyder is with the Kentucky Circuit Court Clerk's Trust for Life. She says about 1 million people came through the offices last year.
As you can imagine, that will greatly reduce the number of names that are added to the registry.
By spacing out renewals, that number could drop to just 500,000. Snyder says organ donor groups are working to find other avenues to sign up Kentuckians.
Ohrid State University is hosting several events next week to honor the life and legacy of Martin Luther King Jr. Starting Monday, January 21st, MSU will host an event in the Adrian Dorian University Center each day of the week. There will be a community march focused on the meaning of MLK Jr. Day, a presentation of MLK Jr. giving his famous I Have a Dream speech, a showing of the movie King, A Man of Peace in a Time of War, and an MLK wall display which allows people to write down their societal dreams and display them on the wall. Shannon Colvin is the Assistant Director of the Student Activities, Inclusion, and Leadership. She says these events are important because an institution of higher education, the community looks to them to lead the way.
Kind of looking at where we are today in the world and kind of reflecting and kind of looking at what our perceptions are, and really figuring out what we need to do the hard work. And I think that's kind of, you know, Morehead State is a light to the mountains. And I think it's true that we do lead a lot of people into maybe a state of a little bit more of an enlightened world when they come here as a student.
The events are sponsored by the Alpha Phi Alpha Fraternity, Incorporated, the Eagle Diversity Education Center, and the Office of Student Activities and the Campus of Activity Boards.
The Martin County Sheriff's Office is struggling for money. WKYT reports there are only two paid deputies and a sheriff at the office, and they're heavily relying on donations. Sheriff John Kirk is the only active officer during the day, and another takes over at night. Newly elected Judge Executive Bill Davis says he is already looking for ways to alleviate the financial stress.
We need to see what resources that we have so that we can take care of this and take care of it in the way that it should be taken care of.
Davis says although the problem is fixable, it will take some time to get accomplished. The Martin County Sheriff's Office is currently accepting donations. You can do so by calling 606-298-2828. We'll have a look at more of your region's headlines right after this.
Support for MSPR comes from the Community Recycling Center, providing a curbside recycling service to residents of Morehead and Rowan County. Residential pickup available every Sunday. Pre-sorting the recycled materials is not required. Accepting number 1 and 2 plastic, cardboard, paper, electronics, metal, and grocery bags. Materials may be placed in any container, placed at curbside for pickup and visible from street. More information by calling 784-1250.
Authorities say a Kentucky man wanted in the kidnapping of a California teenager has been arrested in Arizona. Sheriff's officials say 49-year-old Carly Bentley was taken into custody Sunday night in Black Canyon City, north of Phoenix. They say Bentley's rental car was pulled over on Interstate 17 and a 14-year-old San Diego boy was in the vehicle that apparently was headed back to Kentucky. The FBI says Bentley allegedly used an online dating app to communicate with the teen and then traveled from Kentucky to San Diego to meet up and engage in sexual activity. Bentley is being held without bond, and it's unclear if he has a lawyer. The FBI and San Diego police are handling the case now.
A Carter County pharmacist was back in court this week. WMKY's Naya Andueza has the story.
30-year-old Tommy Deerfield Jr. appeared in circuit court on Monday for a pretrial conference. He pleaded not guilty to illegally dispensing controlled substances and falsifying medical records in November. According to the Grayson Journal, attorney Robin Webb, serving as Deerfield's counsel, told the judge they were still reviewing discovery documents delivered by Commonwealth's attorney Brandon Eisen, as well as seeking ways to regain Deerfield's licensures. Phillips gave Webb another 60 days to complete her discovery, setting Deerfield's next court date on March 4th at 2 p.m. An October 2018 incident alleges that at the time of the incidents in 2017, Deerfield was working as a pharmacy manager at the Grayson Rite Aid. The 37 counts in his indictment include 28 counts of dispensing a controlled substance and 9 counts of criminal falsification of medical records. For WMKY News, I'm Naya Andueza.
5 people have been arrested following a series of drug raids in Boyd County. The Ashland Independent reports 56-year-old Kenneth Hunt, 42-year-old James Wright, and 31-year-old Jamie Wright were taken into custody after Boyd County Sheriff's deputies searched Hunt's home. Items seized included heroin, methamphetamine, oxycodone, and Xanax. Police then searched a drop house in Westwood where deputies found a safe containing additional drugs. A third location was raided as well, 35-year-old Walter Gibson and 28-year-old Brittany Finley were taken into custody at the Knights Inn in Summit. Authorities seized over 100 grams of suspected heroin and 45 grams of suspected methamphetamine were seized along with two vehicles. Investigations into the incidents are ongoing.
Several arrests were made in the Floyd County community last night. EKB-TV reports a high-intensity patrol event was conducted until early this morning. Police say the purpose was to increase officer and police presence in high-traffic areas to combat illegal activity. During the patrol, at least six arrests were made, including three DUI arrests. Several more stops led to court summonses. Those arrested are all lodged in the Floyd County Detention Center.
A Speedway in Winchester is under repair after a car crashed into the front of the store. The Winchester Sun reports 65-year-old Kenneth Anderson was attempting to park when the accident occurred. He told police he attempted to stop when his foot slipped off the brake and onto the accelerator. The incident caused significant damage to the front doors, some windows, and the front of the store. No injuries were reported.
Nine individuals in the Fleming County area were apprehended by sheriff deputies for drug activity over the weekend. WMKY's Cassidy Stearman has the story.
Deputy John Conley received an anonymous tip on January 12th that led him to a residence near Hillsboro. Nine people were arrested and around $2,000 in drugs and paraphernalia were seized. Joey Beamon, Kenneth Neal, Jennifer Adams, Kendra Artrip, Amanda Crouch, Michael Hinton, Ottawa Conrad, Kurt Horde, and Billy Muse are all charged with first-degree trafficking with a controlled substance. Seven of the nine individuals are currently being held in the Mason County Detention Center. For WMKY News, I'm Cassidy Stearman.
Thursday, patchy drizzle before 9 a.m., then a chance of rain and snow between 9 a.m. and noon. Then rain afternoon, high near 40, chance precipitation is 100%, little or no snow accumulation is expected. Thursday night, rain mainly before 1 a.m., low around 38, chance of precipitation is 100%, new precipitation amounts between a tenth and a quarter of an inch possible. Friday, a 20% chance of rain before 8 a.m., cloudy with a high near 40, Friday night, a 10% chance of rain after 5 a.m. Temperatures for Lexington, 38 degrees, Mount Sterling, 36, Inez and Maysville, 36, Grayson and Ashland, 37, Flemingsburg, 35, and on the campus of Morehead State University, 36 degrees.
Back in November, a group of students from area high schools attended the Teen Writers Day Out here on the campus of Morehead State University. On our feature segment today, we will hear from Katrina Holbrook with her piece, Becoming Happy.
I'm cuddled up next to my boyfriend watching some sappy show, and there's a cute romantic moment between two characters. He smiles at me lovingly, making a cheesy comment that melts my heart. Then he ruins it with some smart remark. Still, I know this is why I love him, and in this moment, I believe I feel happy. I am riding the bus with my friend to class, and she shows a funny video on her phone to me. It probably isn't even that hilarious, but on a quiet shuttle at 8 in the morning, it's obvious we can't stay composed because we struggle to breathe so we don't burst out in laughter in front of strangers. In this moment, I believe I feel happy. I am working alongside my crew members, cleaning up the restaurant to go home, and together we are yelling the lyrics to 80s rock at the top of our lungs to get us through the rest of the shift. And in this moment, I believe I feel happy. And before I start my day, I am painting my face, and not as a mask to hide my true self and shield me from the world, but as a decorative details to a mural that's become a part of this still-standing wall, because I've come to know I am strong. And when I'm all finished, dare I say I am beautiful. And in this moment, I believe I feel, well, I feel confused. If I feel happy in these moments, can I say I am happy? And if I am happy, who am I? Recovery is defined as a return to a normal state of health, mind, or strength. So if I'm recovering and I am returning to my normal self, can I really say I am becoming happy? Because I've been screaming, woe is me, for as long as I can remember. And if I'm no longer what I've known, what is left of me? When I was born, my mother said I was the sun breaking through the dark clouds in her life. But I can't imagine myself as something so bright. Because if I was, when did I stop being light? When I look back to before, I've always felt a heaviness, a looming and weighing darkness over me, much like how your tired eyelids feel before you submit to the exhaustion and let them close over your burning eyes. Before, I only really felt good when I was alone in this darkness of my blurry bedroom because I'd be crying so hard that I'd ache in my core, squeezing every last tear and sob out of my being until there couldn't possibly be any more. Because before, the closest thing I had to being happy was catharsis. And now I want to be better than this. I just want you to know, really, I am trying to be less annoyingly depressing with my existence, but honestly, I don't know how to be without my negativity. I can't even write about being happy without it turning out all down. Would my writing even be good without the classic angst? So I guess I'm trying to say I'm sorry I can't recover, but really I am trying to change. But even now, while I'm laying out my lament of who I thought I was, I'm shaking my shoes because I don't know if anyone is actually listening. And if you are listening, do you understand me? Or do I seem crazy? Are my words hitting you in your heart, connecting us? Or are they more like an invasive fly with a buzz, overwhelming your brain? I'm sorry, but this is what it's like to get real with me, rambling on about a new me, when I know I'm more comfortable with a sad familiarity and being stuck in the cycle of insanity, because with every joyous little thought, I am caught by my own interrogating self. I know I've grown used to feeling bad, and my default reaction to the good is sabotage. Do I really feel happy? Do the people around me enjoy my company? If not, how can I feel while they fake the reaction? If yes, do I even deserve this feeling or even deserve them? Because it's like I'm in between two polar opposites of me. One is afraid they're not enough and the other afraid of being too much. So I suppose it all comes down to if I can exist in the middle without fearing of slipping into my past extremes. If I can cope with the attached anxiety that I bundle with trying to be just right for me. And as someone with a never-ending desire to correct and perfect, I'm uncertain if I can ever agree to be happy. And sadly, this is what I believe.
That was Katrina Holbrook, a senior at Fleming County High School, at the Writer's Day Out event at Morehead State University. It's 4:47, rather, and 36 degrees here on the beautiful campus of MSU. I'm your Mountain Edition host, Leanne Akers, here with Nacogdoches Miller, and we're coming to you live from the Larry Netherton Studio here in Breckenridge Hall. We're so glad that you've joined us on this Wednesday afternoon. We'll have sports right after this timeout.
Support for MSPR comes from the Recreation and Wellness Center at Morehead State University. The Wilson Bowling Lanes and the Laughlin Building are open to the public, with 6 lanes for birthday parties, private groups, lane by the hour, or per game pricing. Also available is Cosmic Bowling for birthday parties with disco and black lights for that glow-in-the-dark experience. Open Tuesday through Saturday, 5 to 9 p.m., Sunday and Monday by reservation. More information and reservations at 606-776-3457.
The Cats and the Comets face off tonight at Fairview for WMKY Sports. I'm Leanne Akers. A little high school basketball action is happening tonight in the region. Bath County and West Carter play a doubleheader at Fairview starting at 6 p.m. The girls' matchup is the second round of the 16th Region All-A Tournament. The Lady Cats stand at 11-6 on their season, while the Lady Comets are 8-8. The winner of tonight's matchup will face off with Raceland in the title game on Friday night. The Comets and the Lions play in the nightcap game this evening. West Carter's boys stand at 10-5 on the season, while Bath County has an 8-11 record. The winner of tonight's game will face off with Elliott County in the tournament championship. Game time for that matchup has not yet been announced. The Rowan County boys basketball team hits the road again Thursday night when they take on Lewis County. Head coach Sean Thacker talks about the challenge that this week's road stretch has presented his team.
Had a tough week. Got 3 road games this week. So, we finish it off. You know, we go to Russell on Tuesday, go to Lewis on Thursday. Lewis is one of the top teams in the region. And then we go to Fleming County on Saturday and play a top 10 Campbell County team. So, just it'd be a good challenge for us.
The Vikings are currently 16-2 on the season. Lewis County comes into the game at 11-7 on their year. Tip-off is set for 7:30 p.m. The Round County girls basketball team is traveling to Owensboro tomorrow for a showdown against Glasgow on Friday in the Kentucky 2A State Championship. The 13-3 Lady Vikings have won five straight, including a strong showing last weekend at the 2A sections. Head coach Matt Stokes talks about what he expects from Glasgow.
It looked like they were playing a 2-3 zone against the team I'd watched. So, you know, just from the little bit I watched, that's what we're looking at. So we really got to work on our zone offense this week. You know, we do a good job moving the basketball around and people getting open looks. But we really don't have a whole lot of sets out of a zone offense, so we're going to add a couple in this week.
The Lady Scotties come into the game at 14-4 on their season. Tip-off from the Owensboro Sports Center is set for 11 a.m. on Friday. The Louisville Cardinals return home after a roller coaster road trip. U of L hosts Boston College tonight at the KFC Yum Center. Coach Chris Max says last week the Cardinals lost to Pittsburgh in overtime but bounced back to beat North Carolina.
And we knew going into the game what Carolina presented. You know, they played fast, they offensive rebound. I thought we took away those two things for the most part and put them in the half court. And obviously we played well on offense.
Louisville is 11-5 this season. Boston College is 9-6 and winless in the ACC. Tip-off tonight is set for 7 p.m. The head coach for the University of Kentucky basketball team is still trying to address issues with the mindset of his players. The Wildcats got the win on the road over Georgia on Tuesday night, largely due to a great performance from Ashton Hagans, who scored 23 points in the contest. However, Coach John Calipari tells UK Athletics his team would be more competitive if his players matched the strategy of some of the low scorers.
Nick Richards, who was unbelievable today. We got guys that are too, there's some anxiety, they're pressing personally. I gotta play, if I don't, and I gotta be the same, and well then you can't play. Nick led the troops with that anxiety, that pressure to pressing himself. He just played today. Now, he scored 4 points, but it doesn't matter. Anybody would want him on their team.
Next up, the Wildcats begin one of their toughest stretches of the season with a game Saturday at number 14 Auburn, the first of three straight games against teams ranked in the AP Top 25. And finally, in sports this afternoon, the Morehead State University basketball teams are preparing for back-to-back games tomorrow night. The Eagles will be hosting Southeast Missouri at home, with the women tipping off at 5:05. Head coach Greg Todd says after last year's game, his girls are preparing for a tough matchup.
But in our two outings last year, I think both games came down to the last possession. I know we hit a three-point shot at the buzzer, Ariel McKee did last year, to get the win. And then on our home court last year, we went into overtime and won in a very highly contested game.
The men are slated for a 7:35 tip-off. Belmont is coming into the game at 7-8 on the season, but head coach Preston Spradlin says that doesn't mean his guys will be underestimating the Red Hawks.
You really can't play the records and you can't play the scores of any teams in our league, because our league is just, it's really competitive, and as it is across the country, once you get into league play, no matter what conference you're in, anybody can beat anybody on any given night. And I think that's important to keep in mind with Southeast Missouri.
Both those games can be seen on ESPN Plus, or you can listen live on WIVY. And that's going to do it for sports. For WMKY, I'm Leanne Akers.
Support for MSPR comes from MSU Athletics, online at MSUEagles.com. Eagle basketball welcomes Southeast Missouri for an OVC doubleheader tomorrow night. The women's game begins at 5:05 p.m. and the men's action tips off at 7:35. Tickets on sale from the MSU Eagle ticket office at 783-2386 or online at MSUEagles.com.
Good afternoon from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons. This is Bud Luke with your closing financial markets report for WMKY. Stocks rose as investors cheered strong quarterly earnings from major banks such as Goldman Sachs and Bank of America, and the Dow Industrials did finish with a gain of 141.57 at 24,207.16. The S&P 500 was up 5.8 at 2616.10, and the NASDAQ Composite was up 10.86 at 7,034.69. Goldman Sachs posted blowout quarterly earnings, sending the stock up almost 10%, its biggest one-day gain since 2009. Bank of America also rose just over 7% after reporting a record quarterly profit. The reports follow the release of fourth-quarter results from Citigroup, J.P. Morgan, and Wells Fargo earlier in the week. Morgan Stanley, another major bank, is scheduled to report tomorrow. Separately, United Continental surged more than 6% after the company posted better-than-expected earnings yesterday. Nordstrom fell more than 4.5% after the company said sales and same-store sales were below expectations during the holiday season. Snap dropped more than 13% on news the company's CFO was resigning. In the commodities markets, oil was up 0.5% at $52.36 a barrel. Gold was up 0.3% at $1,293.30 an ounce. In Europe, stocks had a good day, with the Stock 600 index up 0.5%. In Asia, stocks were mixed as the Nikkei was down 0.5% and the Hang Seng in Hong Kong was up 0.25%. Among Dow industrial stocks, the best performers were Goldman Sachs and United Health Group. The worst performers were Verizon and Pfizer. In the S&P 500, again, Goldman Sachs was the best performer there, along with Bank of America, and the worst performers were Ford and Nordstrom. Turning now to stocks of local interest, is Community Trust Bank up 84 cents at $41.93, AEP up 32 cents at $75.70, Anthem up $1.56 at $261.91, Marathon Petroleum unchanged at $64.33, Dollar General up a penny at $112.18, and AK Steel was unchanged to finish at $268. Reporting for WMKY, this is Bud Luke from the Ashland offices of Hilliard Lyons.
Support for MSPR comes from Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe, across from St. Clair Healthcare on Flemingsburg Road in Moorhead. Rutabaker's has made from scratch cakes, pies and cookies, scones, braids and muffins. Lunch menu features sandwiches, soups and salads. Rutabaker's Bakery and Cafe is open Tuesday through Friday, 9 a.m. to 5 p.m. and Saturday, 9 a.m. to 4 p.m. Takeout orders and lunch reservations at 780-4282 or online at rutabakers.com.
Taking a look at some events coming up in your region, Aaron Blevins will present a senior percussion recital at 1 p.m. on Sunday, January 20th, in the Duncan Recital Hall of the Baird Music Building at Moorhead State University. The concert is free and open to the public.
The Moorhead chapter of the National Alliance on Mental Illness will sponsor a free film screening of God Knows Where I Am at 5:30 p.m. on Tuesday, January 22nd, in the conference room of the Round County Public Library. Based on personal journals, the film depicts a woman's journey for independence. Everyone is welcome to attend.
Coffee Tree Books on Main Street in Moorhead will host an album release concert by the Wood Sheep at 5 p.m. on Saturday, January 26th. Bring an instrument for a pre-concert jam session. Refreshments will be provided.
The Cave Run Symphony Orchestra Society will hold their annual meeting at the Round County Public Library at 5 p.m. on Monday, January 28th. All society members and season ticket holders are invited to attend.
A blood drive sponsored by the Kentucky Blood Center will be held in the Button Hall Drill Room at Moorhead State University from 11 a.m. to 5 p.m. on Wednesday and Thursday, January 30th and 31st. Donors must be able to provide a photo ID, be at least 17 years of age or 16 with parental consent, weigh at least 110 pounds, and be in general good health. All donors will receive a free long-sleeve t-shirt.
The Moorhead History and Railroad Museum offers vintage displays, artifacts, model trains, photographs, videos, and guided tours. The museum is located across from the Moorhead Conference Center, East 1st Street, open to the public, admission is free. Hours are Fridays and Saturdays from noon to 4 p.m.
And that's going to do it for Mountain Edition this afternoon. Today we had help from Tanner Boy, Joe Lewis, Shaw Marie Mosley, Naya Andweza, Kenzie Thompson, Cody Robinson, Cassidy Stearman, Logan Pemberton, Chanasty Davis, Jack Cottle, Kyle Blankenbuehler, Greg Jenkins, and Paul Hitchcock. WUKY's Josh James, Hilliard Lyons' Bud Luke. Our feature segment this afternoon comes from the Writer's Day Out event at Morehead State University. This is Morehead State Public Radio, WMKY Morehead and Translator W202BH9S. Our show is archived daily on the web at WMKY.org. For Nacogdoches Miller and all of the MSPR News team, I'm Leanne Akers for WMKY News. All Things Considered is coming up next. It's 5 o'clock.